Right then, we move along, and we move along to the perfect London weekend. Now, I suspect not too many people's perfect London weekends would have this sort of weather. So, just to keep Jackie in Dulwich happy, we're going to provide her with sunny days and long, balmy nights. And she's going to provide us with lots of lovely things to do. Hello, Jackie.
Hello, Robert.
So, you definitely got better weather than this for your weekend.
I really hope so, because quite a lot of my stuff is outdoors, so I need it.
Yeah, well, if you're going for a picnic, I certainly wouldn't pick this particular weekend.
No way.
So, should we start with something to eat? Because it's always good to be fortified for a long weekend, I think.
Well, I'm quite simple, so I would actually start with an early morning walk, and then I would head off to a cafe. So my favourite walking spaces are in Clapham and Battersea.
So what are you going to do? You're going to walk around Clapham Common?
Are
you going to go around Battersea Park or what?
I love Battersea Park. They're both two of my favourites. When I used to walk and run a lot,
right,
those are my two favourite spots. But they have to be between 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning.
Really?
Yes.
You're going to get up that early?
I love early morning London, and
right,
I love getting up early. Robert, London is completely different before everybody else comes out.
Very occasionally in the summer, and I do mean occasionally, probably once or twice each summer, I will get up at that time and go for a bike ride. And you're right, there's a kind of stillness, isn't there?
Oh, I love it. I honestly, and it helps me clear my head.
Right.
It really helps me get into the day. And I just love having that quiet space. I think that Clapham Common I like a lot because of the openness of the common.
Yep.
Battersea Park, I often don't get into the park at 6 o'clock, so I have to walk around the edges of it.
Yep.
And I love going down the Albert Embankment where you've got some fantastic plane trees. I just love looking into the river and also looking over at the Golden Buddha. And it's also nice to do it around that time because the traffic's not too heavy before everyone comes chanting down the Albert Embankment, trying to get through the congestion charge. So, yeah.
And will you do this walk on your own? Is this a solo thing to do?
Oh, that's such a good question, because absolutely, I love walking at that time of the morning by myself.
Right.
So it's definitely not like a group of us going on a walk.
Or even one other person.
No, I just love doing it by myself.
I think the thing about walking is you really want to do it at your own pace, don't you?
Yeah. And, you know, when I used to run, first of all, but,
right,
you know, I'm getting older now, so I don't do that as much.
But you don't sound it, girl.
That's really kind of you. But the walking at your own pace is really important, because you will find that there are lots of other walkers and runners out there, and some of them will be going really, really quickly, and you have to find your own rhythm.
Yeah.
And that's really, really important.
Okay, so how long do you reckon this walk will take?
I always do about an hour.
Okay. And at 6 in the morning, that's taking you to about 7-ish.
Yes.
Time for breakfast?
Lovely. Absolutely looking forward to that.
Where are we going to go?
I go to a place in Clapham South called the Georgian Cafe.
Right.
It's a
now,
bit...
you realise all of this is the wrong side of the river for me, so I won't know any of it.
But I'm trying to educate you about South London. I'm really trying to say that South London is actually the best place to live, Robert.
Of course it is, Jackie. I'll take your word for it. So we're going to go to the Georgian Cafe in Clapham, did
yeah,
you say?
Yeah, it's across the road from Clapham South Tube Station.
Yep.
It's a very small cafe, but what I love about it, they don't play any music.
Oh, that's good.
They don't, unfortunately, have the radio on. So I can go in there, get a lovely cup of tea. They give you your tea or your coffee. I'm a tea drinker.
Right.
In the most beautiful decorated porcelain china cups.
See, my wife would love that. That's our sort of thing.
Absolutely. And then you get a cover on top of your cup. How lovely is that?
Mm. And along with your tea, will you be partaking of anything to eat?
I always like a bacon or sausage sandwich.
You see, I thought you were going to go all kind of healthy on me there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're my type of girl, Jackie.
I'm really sorry.
Bone china and a sausage sarnie.
Yeah.
You can't beat it.
I know, with a bit of ketchup and mustard.
Lovely. So that's breakfast. Will there be any other meals over the weekend?
Or? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love food. So there'll be lunch and there'll be dinner.
Okay. Well, we'll come to those in a bit, but let's do something cultural first.
Okay.
So we're going to do something to kind of, you know, broaden our minds and all of that kind of thing. Where are
okay.
we going to go?
Well, I was really stuck. All right. So I'm just going to give you quickly my two possibilities.
Right then.
I'm either going to go to a concert at the Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah.
My daughter's name is Aida, and we all went to see the opera Aida last year.
Was that good?
Oh, fabulous.
Right.
Absolutely fabulous. So I would have a special concert put on for me. I will have three of my favourites groups and singers. So there'd be Jill Scott or Erykah Badu,
right,
who was ever available.
Yeah.
There'd be Maxwell.
Right.
And then there'd be the London Community Gospel Choir.
Well, a great night of soul music and gospel music there.
I consider myself a 60s child, 1962.
Right.
So, you know, this kind of music, even though Jill Scott, Maxwell, they're more sort of
modern. But they're very much in the tradition, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. Love them. And gospel music, our parents grew up here. We grew up in the sort of Pentecostal church.
Right.
So gospel music's always been in my heart.
Do you still go to church?
No,
it doesn't play a part in your life.
We all left.
Right. So, but you can get yourself, you can get a good kind of bout of gospel through the choir, of course.
Of course. And I love choirs. And I didn't, do you know what? Something, as I've gotten older, I have remembered how much I loved choirs. Because I've gone to see friends who are in sort of community choirs.
Yeah.
There's quite a few.
Do you sing yourself? Have you ever sung?
Oh, no, I haven't got a good voice. Oh,
I don't believe that.
No way. I've got a younger sister who's got a good voice, but I'm not the singer.
Right. Okay, so we're just going to sit and watch the gospel community.
We are going to...
And this is all taking place at the Albert Hall.
I think that'd be lovely.
Well, you said there were two options, though.
The British Library.
Well, you've gone from noisy to quiet.
I know. That's what makes me who I am, because I can be both in there having fun.
See, it's your weekend, you can do both. I'll let you do both.
Thank you. So, I'm going to go to the British Library.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the reading rooms, but I'm going to organise a book reading and an individual audience with writers that I just want to spend like a good 2 hours talking to them about their... how they write, their process of writing, and asking them questions about myself as a writer.
So who would you pick? Which are the writers that you've chosen?
I really surprised myself with this because I read a lot, but I read a lot of like books that are to do with personal development, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I went for a children's writer. Her name's Jacqueline Wilson.
Yep, I know Jacqueline Wilson, yep.
I used to take my daughter to her book readings when she used to come to South London.
Right.
And my daughter read all of her books. And my daughter's not really a reader.
Sure.
So the fact that she got onto Jacqueline Wilson, really, really, I was really, really happy about that.
Fantastic.
But she's such a prolific writer.
Yep.
I'd like to spend some time just one-on-one with her.
Okay.
And then the two other writers, some people won't have heard of them, but there's a writer by the name of David White.
Who I don't know.
He was a consultant. He used poetry a lot in his work, and now he speaks a lot around really just doing what feels right for you, your right purpose, and he uses poetry to communicate his message.
Okay.
Really beautiful guy, Irish guy, lovely. And then there's this wonderful book that I've got called Saved by a Poem by a woman, her name is Kim Rosen.
Yep.
I'm not really great with poetry, but I appreciate a good poem when it kind of grabs me by the neck and sort of like...
shakes you.
Absolutely. Her book is one of the best books.
What's she called again? I'm writing this one down.
Kim Rosen.
Kim Rosen.
The book is fantastic. And it's got a CD at the back where she has people reading a lot of the poems that she talks about in the book.
Yeah.
I mean, and I've seen her speak once, and just listening to her voice alone, I could spend a whole day listening to her.
Well, we've organised that for you, and that's taking place over the British Library.
Yeah.
Some sort of journey. Now, you've already had your walk. Will it stay with that, or will you do something else?
Well, this is going to seem off the wall.
Well, go on then.
I've never been on a motorbike.
Right.
I've never been on a scooter.
Yeah.
And I love trees.
Right. How are you going to combine these?
I've got it, Robert. I've worked it out. So, I'm going to have in my backpack a book by Time Out called The Great Trees of London.
Right. Such a book?
It is right in front of me, Robert.
Oh, okay, right.
It is a fantastic book.
I thought you might have invented it, but
well,
yeah, you've got
it. Well, I could write it, couldn't I? No, it's not one that I've invented. I'd like to have written it.
Great Trees of London, yeah.
Yeah. So what's going to happen, I'm going to have two companions with me. One is by the name of Thomas Packham, I think his name is.
Yeah.
He wrote fantastic books. First one was Remarkable Trees.
Right.
Then Remarkable Trees Around the World. He did a great programme on BBC about trees.
Yeah.
He's coming on the back. And then I've got this other person, her name is Glynny Kindred, and she knows all about trees and the earth. So
you've got two leading arborealists.
Absolutely.
What are you doing? You're getting them all on a motorbike.
We're all getting on a motorbike that's got three seats, a three-seater motorbike. How's this sounding?
Right, yeah, and they're going to take you around the great trees of London.
They're going to take you. So we are going. We're starting off in South London because that's my home.
Yep.
There's a tree at, it's at number 40 Josephine Avenue in Brixton.
Yep.
It's still there, and apparently this was a tree that was on the River Effra, because the River Effra actually now goes
under the ground. Yes, yeah, it's a submerged river. Yeah.
But when it was above, apparently Sir Walter Arley wooed Elizabeth I.
Wow!
Outside that tree.
What a tree!
Absolutely. It's, and in fact, I was very disappointed when I see it wasn't included in the Great Trees of London.
Should
so that's
be
one
there.
They missed. Then we'd head off to Brockwell Park.
Yep.
There is my favourite tree. It's an old evergreen oak. It's at the top of Brockwell Park, just in front of the big house. There's an older tree in front of it, but this one, I believe, is a lot younger than that tree. But it's my absolute favourite one.
So basically, we're going to do a tour of Great Trees of London on a motorbike with two leading arborealists.
Absolutely.
That's St. John, our gardener, has just put his fingers up at that, thumbs up at that. He thinks that's a fantastic
idea. But tell him that I will be caught between stopping off in either Regent's Park, Richmond Park, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
Chelsea Psychic Garden.
Yeah, that, which is lovely.
Absolutely. So
what about queue for your trees? You've got to go to queue, I would have thought.
So, Robert, the absolutely favourite place for me with nature and trees is Kew Gardens.
Yeah, it is lovely. I think it's overly priced, £14 each when we last went, which I thought was a lot to go and walk in a park, basically.
Well, but if you buy a season ticket, which you and I could do, because we love Kew, it's really worth it.
Okay, so you've got your season ticket for Kew anyway, so it's not going to cost you. You're not going to break the bank on that.
No.
Well, that's a lovely journey. Now you've got to do something I mean, that's pretty adventurous, but something even more adventurous.
Well, I struggled with this one. I struggled with wild card.
Yeah.
So this is what I've come up with. I looked at my birth certificate the other day.
Yeah.
My mum told me I was born in a particular hospital.
Right.
This is what I found out. I think I was born at home.
Really?
39 Jeffreys Road in Clapham.
Do you know that road?
Yes, I do.
Right.
And I remember Clapham very well.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to four of the houses that I lived in when I was a young girl.
Fantastic idea.
And I'm going to trace all the people who lived there before me.
Brilliant. What an
adventure.
And
after me.
That's fantastic. I'll tell you what happened to me. Pure coincidence. About probably a year ago now, I was walking in an area I don't know at all well, which is Pimlico.
Yeah.
And my mum had died about a year before, and she happened to be on my mind. I was walking along. And I'd seen her. I didn't know where she was born. I knew she was born in sort of Westminster Way, roughly.
Yeah.
But I'd been looking at her birth certificate because of dealing with all of her affairs. And she was born at 64 Tatchbrook Street.
Yeah.
And I was walking along, and I just stopped. I didn't even know what street I was on. I was going to the Tate Gallery. Looked up, and I was outside 64 Tatchbrook Street. And a guy was coming out of the house. Because I suddenly stopped. Blimey, my mum was born in that house because she was born at home. And the guy came out and sort of wondered why I was looking at his house. I think he thought I was going to burgle him. And I said to him, I hope you don't mind. I said, but my mum was born in this very house. And he sort of said, oh, come along and have a look. And it was incredible.
That's amazing. Can I just share something really quickly?
Yeah.
Connected to that.
Yeah.
I have got a couple of magazine articles where people have ended up moving home and about 10 years later have just for no reason ended up going back into the same house with the key into the house that they live because they've forgotten that they stopped.
You're joking.
I'm not joking.
Well, so, don't do that on your weekend, Jackie. I don't want you to get arrested.
I know. We need to stay safe. But that is a fantastic story, Robert.
Yeah, absolutely true. So you're going to have this great adventure of finding all the places where you lived and where you were born and all of that. Oh,
yes.
That's brilliant. You might need a bit of help. There are kind of house historians, you know.
Absolutely, because you know what I was thinking about? I was thinking I'd go and find somebody like from Open House.
Yep.
And then I remembered that there was this great book that I read, and this is what kind of stimulated the idea.
Yep.
There was a woman in Clapham who wrote a book about the history of all the people who lived in the house that she lives in. I can't remember her name.
I think she was on my show, to be honest.
Yeah, I think so. But that's what kind of triggered it for me. And I thought,
fantastic. Well, we've got one more category, which is nightlife, right? We know roughly how old you are, Jackie, because you've given us a few clues, right? Are you therefore too old to go out dancing or whatever?
Well, you know I get up early.
Yeah, we've...
So I struggle with the nightlife.
Right.
But there's a couple of things that would get me out. And, you know, my friends would say, once I'm out, I'm really good.
Right.
But it's getting me out.
It's just twisting your arm to get you out there.
It's twisting my arm. So I would love to do something that was about going around London, stopping off in different places where I could hear music that I really like.
Yeah.
There'd be food, street food being sold outside,
right.
Really tasty street food. All the restaurants would be open 24 hours. So we'd be having, it'd be like a festival in London.
Yeah.
And that would really keep me alert. And it kind of reminded me, my parents are from Barbados, and they have carnival there every year. And they have something called 4-Day Morning. And everything that you sort of like used to stay out on the streets tools, you know, early, yeah. You know, the sunrises.
I guess they have got the weather for it.
They have got the weather. But actually, last year it rained.
Oh, really?
Us. Yeah, it was really, really rainy. But something like that would keep me alive. But then I remembered something I really want to do.
Right.
And that is the Maggie's Open House night hike. That is part of
Open
House.
But, and that's, it's also a way of raising money, isn't it, I think?
I love it. It's such a fantastic cause. I've done the moonwalk. I did 26 miles. You know,
26 not doing, miles?
I did. I'm not doing it again, Robert.
Well, that's a very long one.
I'm not doing it again.
No, I'm not surprised. But this isn't on that scale, is it?
No, I could do 10 miles on this one.
Yeah.
And you get to go into London's great buildings. You see architecture at night. How fantastic is that?
So tell people what it's called again, for those
it's
who don't know about it.
It's called the Maggie's and Open House Night Hike.
Right.
It happens on the 20th of September, 2013.
Yeah.
I think it's been going for about 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah, and you raise money for the Maggie's Centres, which are
cancer
centres.
What a worthwhile cause.
What a great cause, but also what a lovely way to kind of see London.
And London is great at night. And also you get to go into buildings where you probably wouldn't get access to normally.
So, Jackie, while you're doing this, can I not persuade you to have even a little dance somewhere?
Well, of course, because Maggie's have got, they've got food, they've got drink, they've got live music.
All right, okay.
But also, I would be stopping off at the Jazz Cafe, wouldn't I?
Excellent. Who are you going to watch?
Do you know what? There's this new and up-and-coming artist. Well, I don't know how new she is, but I think she's young. Zara McFarlane.
Yeah, I've heard the name. And to be honest, I don't really know her.
She does a rendition of the reggae tune Police and Thieves.
Oh, right, which, yeah, classic.
It's fantastic. You can just YouTube it. I'm like, wow. And I'm not somebody who, I won't sort of go out of my way to go to a music concert.
Right.
I'd have to be kind of, you know, a friend's going or, you know, my partner or family member. But I heard her. I think I heard her mentioned by Jamoke on BBC Radio. And I just YouTubed her and I thought, oh, this is fantastic.
Tell us her name again.
Zara McFarlane.
Well, Zara McFarlane's going to provide the final tune for your fantastic weekend.
Yeah.
What a lovely weekend you've had, Jackie.
Oh, thank you. I feel energised, actually.
Well, I feel exhausted.
Oh, do you know what, Robert? I forgot to tell you.
What's that?
In between
going
for the morning walk and having breakfast, I book into a spa and have a massage.
You've got it all sorted, girl. You're going to have an absolutely brilliant weekend, and I'm so glad that you shared it with us. That was the lovely, and wasn't she lovely as well? Jackie and East Dulwich. What a great weekend she worked out.